The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let's step into our conversation with POWI right now. They have an event coming up. We're going to focus on the functioning of POWI and, of course, the representative this morning, Mr. Bhawani Prasad. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. And how are you going this morning?
Good morning, my dear. You hearing me loud and clear?
Loud and clear, sir.
All right. Let me start. It's not POWI. It's POWI.
POWI.
Persons associated with Brazil and Pyramid. There is an Pentecostal Assembly of the West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's the difference.
All right. So tell us a little bit about the association. I see that you all started quite a while. Well, let me Trinidad and Tobago know who Mr. Prasad is, because his voice is very, you know, familiar on Freedom 106.5 FM. He was born on April 17th, 1958. He developed eye problems very early in his life and therefore attended the School for the Blind Children, Santa Cruz, from September 1964 to December 1974, since the integration program was at the pilot stage, the opportunity for him to attend secondary school was not possible. Immediately upon leaving school, he got into an open employment as an announcer in a store using a PA system to encourage customers to make good bargains available. So he started there, and from that, he became the person who is how to describe your position in POWI?
After that, I then got a link to Trinidad to the late Sam Ghani. Mm-hmm. His cousin was the owner of the store, actually, so he linked me to Sam Ghani, and then I started my own radio program way back in 1975. You understand?
Go ahead.
That was on Radio Trinidad. Mm-hmm. The olden days. And then after I got into doing other things in 1976, again, through the instrumentality of the late Sam Ghani, I was about to take up a desk in his office as a salesperson for 9-5 at that time and launched. But that didn't happen because, unfortunately, the following day, Mr. Ghani passed away suddenly. Be that as it may, I continued to persevere. During the 80s, I started to do other things, got involved in other media entities, etc. Worked with the Caribbean News Agency for a while as a reporter / stringer, and did a number of things in and around media. Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
So I am well acquainted with the behavioral patterns of media and media personalities.
I don't know how to take that, but okay. So tell us about the role of POWI over the years.
Okay. All right. POWI was established on 1995. The rationale then being that there were some services which were not yet available in Trinidad and Tobago. And we started, thanks to the Caribbean Council for the Blind, rehabilitation services for blind and visually impaired people. Today we call that adjustment to blindness services. That basically means that we teach you the formal way of doing things. Now, before that, I being totally blind, we had each one was teaching one how to use the cane, how to maneuver around, give each other motivation tips on how to cope around the house, simple that you would take for granted as a sighted person, mm-hmm. that you now have to implement fully as a VI person or a blind person, right? So in 1995-1996, we started our quest to ensure that professional way of doing things in terms of rehabilitation services. We have trained hundreds of persons over the years. We had support groups in many of the constituents, in some of the constituencies, south, central, north, east, and so on. And basically, the support groups was to bring together the clients so that they could have a chat. In those days, we didn't have the advent of cell phone and thing like that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to meet face to face and discuss. And if you had a problem that you couldn't cope with, Then you say, boy, look, or girl, look, you know, you might talk man to man or woman to woman about the problem. And all of this brought confidence into people's lives. There are many success stories about the rehab program and includes people like Carlos Green, who lost his sight at age 30 but became a world champion power lifter. And he participated in special, what do you call the Olympics?
Special Olympics. Paralympics.
Right. On a couple of occasions, he was nominated for sportsman and sports of the year here in Trinidad and Tobago, traveled the world. He you know, and right now we have somebody working in the police service who lost his sight at over the age of 30, but he continues to work today. Now, we can't run down people, so I don't want people to get a wrong impression.
Mm-hmm.
He can't run down nobody these days. But he's empowered himself through technology so that he can still continue to function within the office environment. He's a good listener, so they put him to listen and to monitor, you know, certain things that's happening. So all of that is up. So there is life after blindness, Tosca.
Well, let's go into that beyond, because I remember doing another interview when I started here at Freedom 106.5 mm-hmm. FM of, you know, the conversation about blind persons and persons with disabilities entering into the workforce, especially with all of the new technologies and AI and all of that, you know, the positioning of persons who are sight impaired may not be completely blind, but seeking employment in the space. How has that conversation been with representatives and PAVI to ensure that persons are, you know, given fair consideration when looking for employment?
Let me say it's a work in progress. And why I say it's a work in progress, because people's societal attitude still remains, why must I employ a disabled person with a disability in front of a quote-unquote normal individual?
Mm-hmm.
There are many advantages that we say. The person with disability is not going to run to the coffee station every minute, or not going to look outside to see what's happening on the road, and that kind of the person with disability.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of highlighting things that people, you'll find sighted persons who don't really take those things into consideration. You know, they do it from time to time. But go ahead, yeah.
So you know, the person will be more concentrated. All persons with disabilities, whatever they have to work twice as hard. They have to work twice as hard
mm-hmm.
So that when they get something to do, they're glad to take it up. And when they do take it up, the chances of promotion could be another challenge, because people will feel that because you're blind, you can't manage, you can't function, you can't. But right now we have people within the work environment functioning as managers, as that kind of stuff. So there is a lot of, and now with technology at our fingertips,
mm-hmm.
we are able to do things even more efficiently. I remember when I started my career in broadcasting, as I always used to say, if I had the kind of technology which exists today, I could have been a newscaster, a newsreader.
Mm-mm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Because you're using braille displays now that projects everything that is on the screen, right? And if you're an efficient braille reader like myself, not boasting, you know, you would be able to do things. In fact, as I said, at one time I was a stringer with Kana. I used to write my information in braille and read it off like as fluent as anybody else would.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So where there's a will, there's a way. And for those who are losing sight, and this is where PAVI's focus has been mainly, we're not segregating, but we recognize that mainly people who are losing sight or who have lost sight as in particular, you know, they want to know, and their families want to know, is this, am I going to have to give him, feed him, hold his hand, say, boy, look the cup here, let me open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is not what we want in life. We want to do things. We want to, you know, blind people can cook too, you know, Tosca.
And probably better. Oh, that reminds me of a young lady who took part in Gordon Ramsay's, well, the Iron Chef, Gordon Ramsay's mm-hmm. on that, and she lost her sight a little later on. I'm not so sure what the circumstances were.
I can't remember the story, but yeah, the main essence is she that won. She lost her sight and she continued to perform.
And she became the Iron Chef.
You understand?
So, and has her own restaurant and all of that now.
As I say, where there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
All it calls for is a little adaptation and a little change of attitude from society.
Now, so let me ask you about access to buildings, access to workspaces. Is there a conscious move towards making buildings, restaurants, places, transportation and all? Is there an effort to
make sure
that these things are addressed?
Again, it's a work in progress. Within the last 10, 15 years, perhaps, there has been a change and a little shift in attitudes. Because even as you speak, Tosca,
mm-hmm.
over the road, the new Ministry of Education complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
That something so people could access the building more effectively. Your building, I mean, it was built back in the 70s after it suffered a severe fire. I don't know if you know that. Again, you're a little history, you know.
I like that. But no, I didn't. Yeah. But please do continue.
Yeah. There was a fire in, I think it was 1978, 79, which gutted the Guardian building, and NBS was at the time
mm-hmm.
on Abercrombie Street, you know? Mm-hmm. And then this new building was built. But it was not built with disabled people in mind because you still have steps to climb up.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So that was one of the challenges. In most cases, because of those old buildings, some disabled person had to pass through the back door or some side door. Mm-hmm. And even in the National Stadium, we have a problem where persons with disabilities have to go in the basement and then come up. And so, but with a lot of the new buildings now, code is adhered to in some respect. I remember before this, in 2015, the Bureau of Standards and the disabled community, we had developed some building codes would have been followed through. But, you know, when governments change, this is not accepted, that is not accepted. But I'm happy to note that some buildings are now beginning to see the light of day in making their facilities more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, but it's a work in progress. It cannot be done overnight, especially with old buildings. But in new buildings, we hope that legislation will come soon where they will say all buildings must be universally designed to accommodate persons with disabilities. And that brings Oscar,
mm-hmm.
I am happy what I heard yesterday regarding development of Port of Spain and Waterfront and Port City and all of that.
Yeah, but from the Prime Minister. Yeah.
But they must remember under all circumstances that all of these facilities must, the playing field has to be level.
Mm-hmm.
The same way you could get in our building, same way I could get in our building with some kind of modification. We have some buildings with elevators that talk now, you know?
Well, yeah. And that...
I'm trying to remember, so long I visited the Guardian.
Well, yes, they do, the elevators do talk.
Right.
They do let you know going up and going down. And let you know which floor it's on. The buttons
Braille.
Have Braille on it. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why I say it continues to be a work in progress.
Now, in terms of education and young people mm-hmm. with disabilities, and I know that we're speaking with the visually impaired right now, how has the education part of it changed? Or is it still, do you think that it still needs to be adapted, upgraded? How does it look for education?
Now, I would be honest with you. As I read in my bio, during my time at school, we didn't have much opportunity for inclusive education, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was 1981 that a greater effort was made to include children with disabilities in the normal school system. That was, for VI persons, it was a little easier. But for people with physical disabilities, it was still hard because going up from downstairs to upstairs would have been very difficult. And in fact, I remember a story told to me that one of the colleges, the St. George's College, they had to actually put an elevator, locate an area for an elevator so that people in wheelchairs could go upstairs. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it continues to be a work in progress. And again, the concept of universal designs from now make it mandatory that all buildings has to be accessible. In terms of integration, education-wise, there has been a lot of children with disabilities who are now going into what we call mainstream schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a plus. Now, however, when you finish school, what you do after is going to be very interesting. Again, until we recognize the person first rather than the disability, we're going to still continue to have challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I will not go so far as to advocate for a quota system in employment. I feel people have to earn what they're doing. They can't just be, you can't do just do a and say, well, look, oh gosh, poor disabled person, let me give them a job now. Put them to twiddle their fingers or whatever. They must prove their worth.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And that is how I feel that the playing should. So one hand cannot clap Tusker. Why is the state or why is agencies or whoever makes provisions for us, we have to convince them that we can be as equal partners in progress.
Now, we're stepping on to the next one, which would be, I think, the most expensive one as it comes to eye care and eye health. Well, health care. How has that been in terms, I probably you're going to say the same thing, a work in progress. Has it improved?
It's a work in progress.
I know that I remember you talking about the eye clinics in various health centers across TNT seeming to have a disconnect with providing or at least getting to persons appointments for operations and that kind of thing. There's been an issue there. How has
communication. It's more communication issue, right? Because if your staff is not trained to cope with persons with disabilities, imagine I am going into your clinic and you say, go so and sit on so. I can't see where you're pointing. You have to know your left hand from your right hand. Go to the left, go to the right. So it's simple, basic communication skills that is necessary and important to fulfill your obligation or your responsibility to disseminate information.
Now, going to the messages at 3061065, one person says here, this man is the most admirable. I have had at one point had some vision impairment, but I think that when your vision is impaired, the brain becomes sharper. God bless him, true miracle. Reliable transport should be provided for them. So that was my next point to talk to you about. I know that ELAM, is that the service by the PTSD?
No, ELDAMO.
ELDAMO, sorry, yes.
All right.
So tell me about that. Has that been regular? I know that there were some issues with it. What's the status of that?
The ELDAMO service is not fully operational these days. It started in 2012, and after a few years, well, because we don't maintain things, we don't keep maintenance top priority, the whole system kind of fell down. I understand that there is only one area that is being served right now, which is Quarter Spain. But I heard, don't say I tell you, that very soon there is going to be a statement coming out of the Ministry of Social Development and the PTSC after they work out the nitty-gritty situation to see how that service could be back on track again. It provided a nice service, I am not disputing, but on the other hand, it also took away to some degree the mobility of some people, especially I used to walk from City Gate to Guardian Building long time. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew the area, I knew the terrain. But many persons, when you pick them up in an ELDAMO bus and you drop them, let me say they're coming from MOVA and you drop them by the Guardian Building, if the ELDAMO cannot come back or it's tied up with another client or what, and you can't make your way down the road, but then you have to sit down there until Thy Kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? When until the bus come there. I don't want to be so harsh.
Now, in terms of the normal public transportation, is there a message you'd like to send to those listening who are, you know, a bit wary of putting
basically, when you go for a PTSD bus, you get priority. You go to the front of the line.
Mm-hmm.
right? When you go for a taxi, because taxis are owned and operated by anybody and everybody, including the fella who want to try the PH cars and the fella who just hustling. You understand? Sometimes you use some level of ignorance that people say, well, look, I can't carry you because you don't know where you're going and who paying for you. You still find that. But sometimes, I mean, more and more as the global village becomes more at the fingertips, people are beginning to change slowly but surely, so that you would find that people would realize that, look, this guy is a regular traveler from point A to point B, and I will treat him as I would anybody else. I mean, sometimes the passengers themselves rush you down too.
Mm-hmm.
So they might see you trying to open the door and they pass below your hand and you realize that. You understand? No, that's for the visually impaired. Now, for the wheelchair, for the physically challenged, a little more challenging because of the fact that some of them will be a little slower to navigate, you know, getting in and out of a vehicle, etc. And people feel like it's too much problem. And so it continues to be a work in progress. I know different models have been experimented with, but really didn't work out. So this is an ongoing way of trying to deal with the transportation issue. Because we have an open transportation system in this country, you know, in some countries you have the like the El Damo, the bus will come and pick you up in front of your door, etc. But in this country, you have to fight like everybody else to get to use the same facilities.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful now that through Pavi, we made an instead of the president that a VI person be appointed, and she is making a significant contribution in our Senate. She's educated enough, and it shows that the education level is such that she can participate fully. And there are many other persons who are excelling, and I want to if I had what you have today, well, then I don't know where I would have been, on top of the building.
So, wait, say that again, on top of which building?
Well, I mean, no, I don't mean it literally.
Oh.
A little bit frank. What I meant, you never know. I could have been station manager.
Oh, okay.
In my time.
You need to. I see that you really love radio too, because you are a regular contributor to Freedom 106.5 FM on issues of persons with disabilities and cricket as
in
well.
General.
In general, a lot of things in general, you know. One of the another thing that has been in terms of the visually impaired is access really to new technology, learning about technology. How has that been?
We want to congratulate and salute Nales,
yes. I was going to bring up Nales. Yeah.
We probably in our early days we met with the authorities that at the time. And we discussed the possibilities of inclusion at the nationalist various facilities. And they were just starting to build out
mm-hmm.
facilities in Maloney, Sawa, all over the place. And we said, please give us a dedicated space within that facility so that people wouldn't have to leave from Arima to go to Tong to learn how to use the computer. Or they didn't have to leave from Shagwana's to go to Tong. They could use the Nales room or the Nales services within their location. And in that way, people will see them going into the library like anybody else. You know, so it's all a part of inclusion and integration.
Mm-hmm. And making sure, Nales, as you say, everybody gets an equal opportunity to be, you know, contributing citizens of Trinidad and Tobago. Just going to some messages.
Course.
At 3061065, this is true. Private transportation definitely discriminates, but I guess they do not want that added responsibility. The El Damo should be a must. This country, we need this back. Those other countries have it, where there is, I don't want to say separate, but prioritized transport options for those who are visually impaired and also disabilities.
All right. Let me just make one more comment on PTSD.
Sure.
The last 5 years. Well, I am a member of other boards, so I know the disability movement very well. For a number of years, the PTSC has been saying we're going to get inclusive buses, but that has not been done yet. Where I check with a normal person, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
On the same bus. That I mean, where the lift will come in certain countries in the world, in the metropolitan countries, you have the lift going down to the ground so that the wheelchair can get in and you sit, you know. So those kinds of buses, we heard talk about them, but we have not seen any that fit the bill, so to speak. And it's just, we don't want to be segregated. We don't want to be separated. As far as it's humanly possible, you need two services. You need the segregated service because the normal buses don't go off route. So, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you need the integrated buses where you and I could travel on the same bus. Hey, Tosca, where you going? You know, long me a see you, girl. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we need a kind of linkage between persons with disabilities and persons without disabilities.
So I just want to touch quickly on the event that's coming. It's celebration of PAVI. Tell us a little bit about it. What's the main goal of it and where it will be?
All right. For many years, PAVI has been holding this function. It's our major fundraising event. We have other events too, but it is a major fundraising event. This year, we're going to Cascadia. We've been there before. It's on Sunday the 30th from 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's under the patronage of former First Lady, Mrs. Zelia Hassan Ali. We have food. We have entertainment, door prizes, and we have, you know, an opportunity to socialize. And I tell people at this time of the year, you know, everybody's busy every day. Take a little time out. Come socialize. Come celebrate with us. Come get into that Christmas spirit if you haven't seen it yet. Mm. And enjoy the little parang and the little all
in truth, it's November.
You
if you ain't feeling the Christmas spirit yet, yeah, you need to get to some events that will, you know, bring it out. Like Baroness say, come go.
So the cost of tickets is $400. You can call Pav at 2201073 and book your face in the space. Reading the wrong script. Yeah, book your
but you're doing it so well though. I love the intonation. How do you get in touch with persons to book that space?
You call 2201073, that's Pavi's office, or you can visit the Pavi Trinidad Facebook page, or if you happen to know somebody like yours truly, and you say, boy, I will get one. Mm-hmm. Not free, eh? You know. Yeah, so
your connection is a little breaking up a little bit. So I didn't quite
know
hear.
I know that. Okay, the point I was making mm-hmm. is that you can call Pavi's office at 2201073. Pavi Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and find information on that. We have a YouTube channel too, because we did Calypso competitions for a number of years. And so you can hear people singing Calypso and stuff like that. And, you know, so you can find out more about Pavi, how you can help, how you can be a part of it, how your family who's losing sight can benefit from the services, the counseling, etc. And a lot of our fundraising initiatives are dedicated to the rehab program. At this present time, for some time, we have not been receiving any subvention. We are now in the process of renegotiating that so that we can provide rehab and adjustment of blindness services to a lot more people directly and indirectly. So that's some of our goal. But we focus on all other aspects of work of and for the blind as well. We look at income generating initiatives where you train to make soap and shampoo and this kind of thing. Music is the hallmark of blind people. Starting from the days of Stevie Wonder, we used to teach music and that kind of stuff. So where there's a will, Tosca, there is a way.
Mr. Persad, thank you so much for joining us and giving us such a lively vision of PAVI. And let's hope that the persons really come out and support the efforts that are being made to educate those who are visually sighted so we can understand the visually impaired and other persons with disabilities. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Like I always say, Tosca, I do not have sight, but I have vision.
Yes, you do. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right, take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.